This time on Kawifi Radio, bad employment tips.
So if you want to get a government job,
you merge with your pet, Nina Tucker.
No! No!
We explain Bleach poorly.
Lad who can see ghosts, who then gets crazy ghost-killing powers from a ghost lady.
And then his ghost powers are better than they should be.
And then he goes to Ghost World to fight ghost people.
To rescue the ghost girl who gave him his ghost powers.
And his best friend is not a ghost man.
But a ghost man hunter.
And the new anime season is full of cats.
Are cat girls back?
Yeah!
Wi-Fi Radio!
Konnichiwa and welcome. You tuned in to Wi-Fi Radio, the podcast we dive into the world of anime, manga, all things otaku culture. We're back!
Hello!
Hi! I'm Kyle, this is Aaron, this is Kenny.
Hi there.
Tifa is currently in a grave of her own making, which is her bed.
Fireflies.
No! This is not a Ghibli review.
Back for a minute and you hit us with that one?
Okay.
Shame.
Anyway, new anime season is here. It is the summer anime season. And we do every time, we've got two shows that each of us have picked out. A total of 10 shows from this season that we're looking forward to. Pretty diverse spread from it. That's from shonen to josei. We'll have action. We'll have romance. We'll have chain smoking cats. There's a lot this
season. Which one
season.
Of us picked that?
Like, you know, Nya.
Tifa.
She did?
Yes.
You know she did.
Of course she bloody did.
This season's a bit of an odd one. There's a lot of returning shows and they're all isekai and those aren't the ones we're interested in.
One's also unique because there's a lot of cats.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
Girls back?
Cat adjacent. I don't know if cat girls are back, but just cats. For some reason,
they're taking over the world.
This season's theme.
No, this is how it starts. It starts with the cats, then it goes to talking cats, and then you get to cat girls.
I
can't explain the science.
Wasn't there that cat zombie anime recently?
Night of the Living Dead, which was great.
I think that started it.
Okay, we're getting cat girls back again.
Your fun summer break will be starting tomorrow.
She wants summer vacation to last forever.
Well, sunburned.
Summer anime season.
It is the summer anime season. We don't know what that sting sounds like because I have to make it tonight.
Fuck off.
It's summer and here's summer, our choices.
Yeah. There are isekai shows returning that we're not covering.
Because 20 of them.
Yeah, there's too many. Mm-hmm. There's too many isekais, full stop. And even Kodansha recently came out and said that. They're like, we shouldn't have put all of our eggs in that basket. And everyone's like, yeah, no kidding.
There's so many isekais this season that I specifically chose non-isekais.
Yes.
Wow.
And if Aaron is specifically choosing non-isekais, what's that mean?
I mean, you're kind of that... We I kind of rely guy. On you to know what the hell is happening
no,
in this sort of isekai.
Not so much the isekai, the shonen area.
Oh, yeah.
Kind
of like this season, not really.
No, is true. Well, look, we
won't... things up.
Well, why don't we get you to kick off with Black Torch, which is shonen.
Son of a gun.
So, Black Torch, this is a manga adaptation. It's been done by 100 Studio, which are they're a fairly small studio. They did one of the episodes of Fujimoto Tatsuki 1726 and Days of My Stepsister. But outside of that, they've predominantly been a step studio.
A step studio.
A support studio.
Not your real studio, it's just step studio.
What are you doing back there, step studio?
So, Aaron... myself and Tifa all saw this and saw the promo for it and went, this feels very emo.
Yes, but do you recall, I think it was two seasons ago,
mm-hmm.
or maybe it was last season, the one where the kid could see the spirits.
Yeah.
And he did the garden of them.
Oh, that was last season, yeah.
That was last season. This is sort of similar, except it's more angsty.
Mm.
This kid can talk to animals. And so like animals will call him to help out and stuff. He's raised by his grandpa who is a shinobi who taught him his shinobi ways. And so like he gets into street fights with punks who are picking on animals.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
He's a kind-hearted kid. And then one day a crow comes up to him and he's like, hey bud, there's a cat in a forest who ain't doing too good. And he goes, alright, I'll go check it out. Goes rescues the cat, cleans him up real good, nurses him back to health. Cat turns out not to be a cat. It's a Princess Mononoke.
A cat girl?
No.
Oh.
It's a dude.
It's a dude.
Well, evil spirits.
Disguised as a dude playing another dude.
Well,
the
so
princess dude. Gotcha.
Evil yeah. spirits in this are called Mononokes.
Okay.
Which we have seen used as a term in other shows that we've covered in the past.
It's yeah. just every time I hear Mononoke, I go, Princess Mononoke.
Yeah, this is true.
And some stuff happens. They get into a scrap and it doesn't go well, and then they find out that they are very compatible.
Hot. He turns into a cat girl. Okay. So that's a yes. He turns into a cat girl. Not where I was expecting this to go, but sure. Let's start with more cat girls.
Reincarnated into another world as a cat girl.
Well, he gets donutted by a demon.
Oh, okay, yep.
Oh, he gets the Rengoku.
Rengoku, yeah. Yep, yep,
he gets the Rengoku treatment.
Oh my! And then the cat, which had a circular mark on its back, he then gets that circular mark where the hole was.
Oh.
Because they've merged.
Oh. Ugh.
Yeah.
That's, that got to be painful.
Becoming a donut? Yeah. Yeah.
Inside you, there are two cats.
Both of them are fighting.
Donut want.
God.
Oh, do not worry about
so it. So, what the info I've got here on it is that it's about 17-year-old Jiro Azuma. He lives a quiet life with his granddad, utilizing his supernatural ability to speak to animals to befriend and protect them, as you've said. Both Jiro and his grandfather are descended of a long-standing shinobi clan, training in combat to keep the art of battle alive within their family. So, it's samurai ninja cats.
Yeah. Well,
has there been any evidence of pizza?
No.
Damn it.
I don't think they've done any food in it, actually.
That's surprising, actually.
No cabbage?
Yeah. No cabbage.
Oh, that's a shame.
I think the cat may have eaten some kibble.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, yeah, it does sound interesting. So the rest of this does go on talking about exactly what you've mentioned, that, you know, demonic experiment that's been at war with mankind. Hostile Mononoke comes looking for Ragu, which is the name of the cat. Jiro uses his shinobi training to jump to the cat's defense. Donut. Faced with the decision of whether or not to devour Jiro's fading energy and restore himself to full power, Ragu instead chooses to give his remaining energy to Jiro, reviving the body and the boy, and transfer also grants him supernatural powers that complement his own shinobi fighting style. And the office of the Bureau of Espionage officer witnesses this, and they kind of like, hey, join the Bureau's new squad.
Yeah, except it's not can you, it's join the Bureau's new squad. And he's like, what? And then they go,
wow, that's very Chainsaw Man, isn't it? Because that's kind of how Chainsaw Man started as well. Just, it's like, you passed out, we're taking you in.
That's just what it is to work in government.
You lost your heart, and then a dog merged with you, and I've now you're working for the government.
You're the guy who slaps people on the neck.
I really
you're
wasn't.
Right, because Chainsaw Man, he had a hole in his chest and his dog went into it.
Yeah.
And they merged and became one and it complemented his fighting style.
Oh, so now
and then he joined
and
the
then
government.
He joined the government.
So now he's
so if you
want to
get a government job,
you merge with your pet. Nina Tucker.
No!
You take your guinea pig and you...
No!
I'm glad you didn't finish that one.
He wasn't going to, otherwise. Anyway.
Your pet's your best friend. Don't merge with them.
Yeah, please do not.
You take your canary.
Into the gold mine. Coal mine.
Get your little goldfish. Oh, no, wait, that's happening too, isn't it?
Oh, God, no. Anyway, moving right along. This is on Crunchyroll, Amazon Prime in Japan. If you're in China, it's IQIYI. And if you're in Singapore, it's Muse Asia. Currently, that's the only listings. We're one episode out so far. It's Saturdays at 10 p.m. It releases. Yeah, action supernatural shonen. Pretty much
cats.
What it says on the tin.
Cats.
Cats, lots of cats.
No. Get the cat tally going.
One. Alrighty.
Is this the one with Judy Dench in it?
What?
Oh, the no, this movie. Is the butthole edit.
Oh, because he gets a hole.
Anyway. Wow, I really don't want to allow you to talk now. So let's stick. I was going to go and talk about Ghost in the Shell, but you're going to have to wait now, Kenny. Uh-huh. It is Chainsmoker Cat. This is Tifa's selection for this season. Comedy Seinen, Bibbery Animation Studios. They did Quintessential Quintuplets, 100 Girls with Friends Who Really, Really Love You, Witch Watch. Not a massive amount of anime in their back catalogue, but the stuff they've done has
they
done
do well.
Well,
yes. Yeah.
We don't know the length. Full heads up, we do not know all the streaming partners or all the episode lengths yet because it's still the first week. Some of these shows haven't come out yet, so we do not know what their run length is. And in some cases, we won't know till the end, such as Rampants of Ice last season ended up being 14 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't know that was happening. So this one is kind of gone viral, Chainsmoker Cat, because the opening is all references to cinema.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all, shall we say...
questionable.
Vulgar.
Yeah.
Vulgar, yes.
That is the correct word. They are all vulgar scenes from, shall we say, disreputable films in the fact that their content is disreputable, not necessarily the film themselves. Because, like, well, look, Trainspotting is phenomenal from a filmmaking standpoint.
What
happens within it...
It's heavy and horrifying.
...is war. Yeah. So, yeah, that kind of gives you an idea of what's mixed in this, including, obviously, the Shrek motorbike scene, which was actually a reference to something else, but that's what everyone immediately compared it to. So, this focuses on a cat girl called Yanni, not Laurel. Welcome to Yanni's apartment. Please don't mind the smell. Yanni is a cat girl with a seriously bad smoking habit. Every time she tries to quit, she becomes weak to the cravings and gives in instantly. Behind on her rent and unable to hold down a job, her friends and sister rally around her to help her out. But when she's using her pee to put out cigarette fires, they may just have their work cut out for them. Will she ever get her life together, or is she doomed to live a chain smoking slob forever? It is the latter.
Yeah, this is... people, like, the whole news meta surrounding this anime is that people are dropping it en masse because it's so bloody gross.
Yeah.
And everyone else who is just sort of, you know, not new to anime is going, yes, that's the point. It's funny kind of for how gross it is.
Yeah.
Sort of like Crayon Shin-chan with all the butt jokes.
Yeah. I'd say Crayon Shin-chan is probably a bit tamer than this, though. So.
What? A kid's anime tamer than this?
Exactly. I wouldn't compare it to that. So, but I get where you're coming from. Like, yeah. Yeah, this is Comedy and Seinen. It is going... We don't know how long the run is, but we're expecting probably about 12 episodes. It's based on a manga. It's PG only, somehow.
How?
Yeah, that's kind of impressive.
Yeah, there's a lot of shows we've seen where it stayed as a PG-13 rating for the US.
Japanese PG is weird, man.
Well, it's a US PG.
Oh.
Yeah, this is the thing. Like, the Japanese rating system kind of follows the US rating system from memory, so it's almost identical. So it depends. If it's rated that, it's based on the US standards. And the US standards don't really have a M. They've got an MA. So things that here might be an M... for mature audiences, are PG in the US. So it's, yeah, they don't have that. They just go from PG to M to R.
I still love the old meta that PG meant you were allowed one swear word.
Yeah. Yep.
I'd like this podcast. Which is...
Wait, we are PG, right?
Yeah.
No.
I'm putting the one and only swear word here.
No, you're not. So this airs on Fridays, first thing in the morning. So it's Friday morning, 12:30 in the morning, Thursday night. It can be watched on Netflix worldwide and anyone Asia. And if you're in China, IQIYI. Anyone Asia for Hong Kong in this case. So, yeah, it's
just... This anime looks like it's just... I was saying in the pre-show, it reminds me very much of Shika Noko 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 Kosh Tan Tan, in that...
Yes. My dear friend.
It's a joke.
Yeah.
So treat it as such.
Yeah, look, I think this is just going to, like, fall off a cliff, but it's going to...
Make an impact.
Make an impact immediately, just like my dear friend did. Like, immediate impact, but then everyone dropped it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's falling off a cliff, but it's a very small cliff, and it's already driving in that direction. So,
yeah, I mean, look.
We're going to get the Wile E. Coyote yikes sign, and then...
But that's the thing. That's what this is. It's a joke.
I was like, if you want to watch it, Netflix, or shall we say...
Netflix.
Exactly. So, Kenny.
Hello.
We get to talk ghosts in the show.
We do. Oh yeah, because that's a thing now, again.
It's a good thing though, because it's based on the manga instead of...
It's based on the very, very old school manga. And I think a lot of people who like we're aware of Ghost in the Shell for, say, Standalone Complex or the Scarlett Johansson movie, are going to be very weirded out by the direction that this anime is taking, because the old stuff for Ghost in the Shell, the old manga, was a lot more crazy, funny, sexy, naughty, very, very silly. And there's a lot of that which I'm seeing out of the animation for this. And I'm like,
do you want to know some of the people who are involved in this?
Hit me. No, please do. I've had a hell of a week.
I'm just going to quickly double check because I want to. No, that's the other guy. So, Enjo Toe. He is the astrophysicist, hard sci-fi writer who wrote Godzilla Singular Point.
What the hell?
He's the script writer.
What?
Yeah. And he loves the original manga.
What? Okay, that's going to be weird, man.
Yeah. So that means there'll probably be a lot of, like, real science theory or theorem around it, which, like, will be interesting.
That's always been a case with Ghost in the Shell. It's always been the whole philosophy of what makes a human when you replace all the parts. This whole Ship of Theseus thing is like, once you swap everything with metal, are you even a human anymore? Yeah. That's the whole shtick.
The
director, David Martinez.
The director is someone called Moko Chan. They were a key animator for Devilman Crybaby. They were a storyboard and episode director for Dandadan on several episodes. They were storyboards and animation direction on Heike Monogatari. They were also storyboard and episode directing on the Thingy Time Machine Blues. What's that? Tatami
that
Time Machine Blues. And they've basically just done everything at Science Saru. He's been there since 2015. And yeah, he's worked as a storyboard and episode director on pretty much everything they have produced. So, look, this is his debut as the director, and he's apparently also grew up obsessed with Standalone Complex and the original films.
It was really good. Here's the thing, though. In Standalone Complex, Motoko, the main character, it was always hinted that she was very bisexual, very, very much like she would go partying. She talks about getting like absolutely wasted at a nudie bar. But she always came off as very stoic, very businesslike, very almost, robotic. Almost.
Yeah.
But it looks like in this, they're going to lean more into her crazy party girl side a bit more. I'm just like, all right.
Okay, I'll see this.
Yeah, bet.
The opening theme song is done by King Gnu.
Oh, hell yeah.
So we've that apparently just landed.
You are my special.
Yes. that one. Millennium Parade is doing the outro. And then Shuhei Handa is the chief animation director and character designer. They were the character designer and a key animator on some of One Punch Man, Sword Art Online, second key animation, Kill la Kill, chief animation director. So and then assistant for episodes 8 to 10, animation director for episode 21. They were animation director for one episode of Darling in the Franxx, like Little Witch Academia, Inuyashiki, Dungeon Meshi, animation director for 3 episodes, Panty and Stocking with Garter Belt, in between animation. Mm-hmm. They've got a lot of experience across a wide range of stuff. Like
this. Oh, like crazy fight anime, yeah.
Well, no, they've got Terraformers, Madaka Box, Little Witch Academia, Gintama, Idolmaster. Like, this guy's done everything. And he's also done character design.
So here's the thing. It's like, after what we've received for Ghost in the Shell since, like, Standalone Complex, I'm not putting a whole lot of faith in this, but I want to believe it's going to be better than that last thing.
I hope so. Christ. They have announced the dub cast for it, and they all are fairly young, new voice actors, but not bad voice actors, which seems to be the important thing.
So not four kids, gotcha.
No, it definitely doesn't have that vibe. And it's probably also worth noting that this has been done by Amazon Prime as the primary distributor for the entire world. So the fact that they, because this is the thing, Amazon Prime played around with AI voiceover and everyone kicked back on it. After that, they've then started going back to the studios who they got to do voiceovers in the past and re-engaging them, which is like, okay.
Yeah, don't say.
Good to say that. Hopefully, this is a good sign. So,
isn't it nice when corporations learn from some backlash?
Oh, we'll see. Like, you know.
It's a matter of time, Kenny.
Mm. I suppose.
But we'll see how this plans out. So if you aren't aware of what Ghost in the Shell is, then this is kind of, if you like anything cyberpunk, like if you liked Edgerunners, if you like the cyberpunk games, if you liked, I guess what else is cyberpunk adjacent in anime? Bubblegum Crisis, 80s sort of techno cyberpunk shows like that.
It's
Blade Runner.
Ghost in the Shell is very much an institution of this sort of like science fiction cyberpunk genre.
Mm-hmm.
It's been around for ages and, you know, for very good reason.
Mm-hmm. So the summary we've got for this episode, for this adaptation, is meant to be like a complete from scratch reboot. So nothing continued, nothing else taken care of, just focusing on the manga, which is good. The year is 2029 in the near future Japan, where the world has become highly information intensive with a vast corporate network covering the planet, electrons, light pulsing throughout it. But the nation state and ethnic groups still survive. Motoko Kusanagi, a full-body cyborg, leaves an elite combat unit, including Bato. While commanding her team, Kusanagi envisions the creation of a specialized task force to preemptively strike. They just had to go, Bato is there.
Yeah, it's just like, she leads a strike force, including Bato. It's just like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I know. Who wrote this?
He's her second in command, basically. But it's like, yeah, she has a team of like people who are all cybered up to a various degree, except for the one ex-police officer, Togusa, who's got like minor cyberization.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing. She basically has a ragtag team of crazies at her beck and call, and they're sort of like a advanced police force.
Yeah. So while commanding her team, Kusanagi envisions the creation of a specialized task force to preemptively strike against emerging threats. And meanwhile, Daisuke Aramaki of the Ministry of Internal Affairs, who had been planning to establish a similar unit, recruits her and her team to set that up. Together, they begin operations as Public Security Section 9, an offensive tactical unit known as Shell Squad, as they confront complex cyber crimes and international conspiracies. The existence of a mysterious, unidentified hacker known as the Puppet Master emerges on the horizon of their investigation. And basically, Puppet Master's the big evil. They are the hand guiding everything in the world in the shadows. And that's, it's well done. It's not like, kind of like, ooh, the big bad was all us all along, you know? It's like, no, this is actual person, like, slash potentially an AI, slash all these possible things.
Well, that goes back to the whole thing of what is a human after all the human parts are removed. Yeah. Is it an AI? Is it just like... Ugh.
Yeah, but yeah, this airs on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. It is kicking off a little bit later than the rest of the season. First episode is... Oh, actually, tomorrow night.
Hmm.
So there you go.
So last night.
Yeah. Yeah, last night.
Last night is
as far
night.
As the... Well, like... They won't,
when this episode comes out.
It airs on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. I just thought there's a couple of shows this season that aren't coming out until like 2 weeks into July.
Like the 13th and stuff.
Yeah, so we don't know the episode length yet. We do know it's going to be rated R17+.
Booyah.
So it is...
I mean, the OG manga was wild.
Yeah. It's Science Saru who's... Dandadan, Isaacan, Devilman Crybaby, like we love Science Saru, and they're doing another one on this list this season as well, which we'll come to later. But action, mystery, sci-fi, cyberpunk, suspense. It's one of the big IPs of the last 30 years in anime, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, what was it, 88?
Oh, because it's a reboot and the old school one, it means they're not going to have the like blue tachycomas.
They've got the tachycomas, they're just not blue.
Yeah, they're the old school ones.
The red ones, yeah. Look, maybe they'll rebring them.
Look, they're still cool. They're still cool. I just love the little blue ones.
Yeah. All right. So look, as I said, that one's Amazon Prime worldwide. So hopefully that doesn't result in it not getting much attention because we have seen that before. But I think enough people now are aware that anime comes to Prime. So fingers crossed. Moving on, we've got my pick, which is Sparks of Tomorrow. This is Kyoto Animation's first new original project.
Oh.
Well, first new franchise since the firebombing.
Mm-hmm.
They've gone back and, you know, done more on like pretty much existing stuff such as Violet Evergarden, the Hibiki Euphonium, all their existing franchises. This is the first one that really takes them into new territory since then. So this is a historical drama. It is an alternative version of the earlier 20th century where technological progress went down the path of steam power first before now coming over to electricity. and it's about that change. So Kyoto is blanketed in constant smoke. A boy who's hardened by the loss of his brothers grows distrustful after their shared dream of an age of electricity is cut short. There's a deeply... Oh, man, who wrote this? a deeply devout girl hides her dreams and regrets her deceased mother's deep within her heart when two cross paths.
Who wrote this?
Is some, this Les Mis?
Yeah, right? It's like when two star-crossed lovers cross paths.
How do you do? My name's Gavroche.
Yeah, so look, basically what it is that he wants to bring the world of... bring electricity, the age of electricity, to the world. It was his brother's wish before he died, and they both built up a catalogue of ideas and plans and inventions. Mm-hmm. He has that book. People are trying to steal that catalogue because they want to. They know how important it's going to be.
I'm getting a bit of Steam Boy from this.
Exactly. So they've got to confront their past and carve a path towards the future. What a surprise. It is a historical drama. There have been people saying that it is potentially, because it's based on light novels. If they follow the light novel, there will be elements of romance, but it's not the core of the series. It's more the historical drama and like the deception between, like, you know, inventors and stuff like that. So could be really cool, but then you think about that and then you go, Kyoto Animation style. Beyond the Boundary, Love, Chinobu, Other Delusions, Hyoka, Violet Evergarden.
It'll be very
shiny. And it is very pretty. This is a Netflix one. Just there on distribution partners. They didn't fund it or anything to our knowledge. Sundays at 11 p.m. This one we know is going to be 13 episodes. We don't know... I'm assuming that doesn't cover everything. I'm assuming that we would need a secondary or third season after that. But we will see. We don't have a rating for it, which generally means that it is either they haven't had it rated yet officially or it's PG.
Yep.
It's generally the rule we go with. Like unless it's a children's anime, it won't be rated G. Mm. So, yeah. However, because this is like kind of like the big sort of, you know, the new franchise that Kyoto Animation are putting their effort into, there's been a lot of promotion around it. There's been a lot, especially in Japan.
Yeah, plenty of buzz.
So we're very hopeful of this one. Hopefully it doesn't fall off a cliff. I suspect this one will actually be good. It's just whether it goes to, like, I want to say like Fullmetal Alchemist level, not Brotherhood, but first Fullmetal Alchemist, or whether it kind of sits in that six area. Because it depends on how it's implemented and if it connects with the audiences. So yeah. if there's too much romance in it, for instance, it won't get a good score because people are looking for the action of like a steampunk sort of story. Whereas if they focus on that and the inventions and that is an undercurrent throughout it, then it will work.
Mm. Current.
Hey. Just a gnome. anyway, that's going to be on Netflix, and that hasn't had its first episode drop yet. That's a late start. That's Sunday the 11 p.m. on, that would be the 12th of July is when that drops. So
one of the late starts that we were talking about, yeah.
So moving on from there, we need to talk about a typical villainous anime, except it's not. This is Emma's pick for the season. Oh. And when I first saw it pop up in the list, I thought it was just another, oh, I've been teleported into my favorite Atome game and blah, blah. It's not.
Is this the one with the Winnebago?
No. It's called Though I Am an Inept Villainess. And because I saw that, I just went, okay, it's an Atome girl. You know, she's been teleported in the game. No. Maidens from the five clans battle for the crown prince's heart, but the jealous Keigetsu uses forbidden magic to swap bodies with the beloved Reirin. Switching places does not guarantee happiness for Keigetsu, with her new body's ill health leaving her hanging on the verge of death. So the villainess takes over the body of the girl who was, because she was, you know, struggled and she had an ill and frail body. She took that over because she's like, well, he knows me as the villainess, but this way I can sneak in and win his heart and then get what I want. The girl she swaps with is like, I can walk? And she's like, amazing. I don't care about romance. I'm going to do this other stuff. Okay. So that's why
I like this.
When I saw it at first, I saw that. I was like, it's fantasy romance. Okay, well, that sounds a little generic. And then Emma mentioned that she'd saw it on TikTok and that it was her pick. And I looked into it and I went, okay.
Okay,
so
no, I'm liking this. The villain and this is like, I will capture the heart of the prince and like curry influence and nation. And like the main character's just like, I'm going to go on a hike.
So Reirin now wears the face of the scorned outcast, but she must answer for her crimes in a trial. But she doesn't really have the same level of guilt. Well, she doesn't have the guilt or the fear that this woman had who's stolen her body. So, yeah, the pair become increasingly entangled in each other's lives. And they will need to work together to survive after discovering the dark conspiracies brewing in the palace's genial surface. And to confront the deadly threats lurking in the shadows, Rayrin must embrace her new identity and defy expectations as the court's inept villainess. This is being animated by Dogokobo, which did Oshinoko.
Dogokobo Oshinoko?
Yes. Plastic Memories, Muru-chan, Sleepy Princess and the Demon Castle, yes. Yuri Yuri. However, the animation quality, and the because she's got like freckles across her nose like the girl from Apothecary Diaries,
mm-hmm.
it has a very similar look to Apothecary Diaries. And if Dogokobo can capitalize on that beautiful contrast and the colors that are used in that with like that mention, high saturation.
Not to mention capitalizing on like the visual aesthetic. Like everyone loves Apothecary Diaries. So they're going to see that and like, oh, I got to spend my money on that.
Yeah, exactly. So
that's sneaky.
Yeah, yeah. But it looks really good. And like, obviously she's got to deal with all these, the struggles that come with it. But it's going to air on Sundays at 11:45 p.m. So, Monday for everyone else.
Yeah, basically. All right. Stupid late.
Yeah. First episode, also July 12th, so this Sunday coming as well, for us at least. It's based on a light novel. It doesn't have a rating attached to it yet because the first episode hasn't aired, so they haven't seeked that. It's going to be on Crunchyroll, Hulu, Disney+, Amazon Prime Video through the Crunchyroll subscription in it. I don't know why you do that. Bilibili in China, Netflix, and for some reason, out of... Everything we've seen, nowhere else has got this. A Mediateka, which is a Russian streaming platform. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mondo este Mediateka.
But yeah, no idea on the length of episodes yet. Probably 12. Should be good. But that is Emma's pick for this season. And I think it could be fun.
I dig it.
Yeah. Aaron.
Aaron.
Cats.
Aaron. Cats.
Ding. That's three cats now.
Count them. 1, 2, 3.
Cat and the dragon.
Cat and the dragon.
Oh yeah.
This one is adorable. The first episode came out last week. Second episode's already out. I watched them both today. Well, I watched the first one like half of it last week, but that's another story. Aaron's rambling. Anyway, so it starts off with this mother cat finding a cave to give birth to her kittens. She gives birth. And then she finds a dragon egg hatching at the same time. And all the kittens are like, what's this? And she's like, well, this is your new brother. And she raises him like a cat.
And then everyone gets magic.
Well, they're not actually forest cats. They're Kate Siths. So they do have access to magic and they can talk.
That explains stuff.
And so the mother cat's teaching them all how to be kittens, like how to hunt, beware of humans, they're dangerous. You know, all the basics of surviving out in a fantasy world.
Yeah.
And just before they're ready to leave the nest, she gets summoned away.
Oh.
And she's like, you all look after each other. Like, I've taught you well. You'll be fine. And they're all freaking out. And so the cats all leave the cave. And the dragon's like, I'm going to stay here. It's all right. Mm-hmm. Little time passes. One of the cats comes back. And she's like, hey, is it okay if I use the cave to give birth to my kids?
Mm-hmm.
And then he teaches her kids how to hunt like mm-hmm. their mother did. And the cycle sort of continues. So you get to see all these generations of cats come by.
Oh.
And it's so cute.
Because it's listed here saying that he's named Uncle Wings.
Yes. Because he's the cat with the wings.
Aww.
And so like some incidents happen with humans. And he has to go to the humans and be like, oi. Don't you touch the cats in that forest. They're under my protection. You mess with them, I will come back and destroy you, and I know you can't stop me if I get mad. And so, like, all of a sudden, the king passes the law, do not touch the cats. Like, if you see a cat, do not touch it. We do not want thy wrath.
Yeah, because he becomes the protector of all the cats. Yes. Yeah.
And then a cat meets the prince, and the prince sucks at magic. And so the cat sort of keeps hanging around the prince, teaching him tips and stuff, and the king finds out. He's like, you didn't touch the cat, did you? And the prince is like, I may have
stroked it.
I gave his ears little scritchies.
Well, yeah, he did pat the cat, and they are good friends. And so the dragon comes back and he takes on cat form to talk to the king and be like, all right, look, that's one of my siblings. You need to look after them. They chose to stay here. As long as you the king, say it's all right.
I'm getting a bit of it's Sopranos cool. mafioso. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. You have been good to my brother, so I shall be good to you.
Yeah, basically it is like, I'll let him teach your son magic as long as you look after him. And the king's like, but that sorcery that uses the spirits that's banned from humans is like, I'll make an exception if you treat my brother right.
You treat my family good, I treat your family good. Capiche?
Yeah, basically. And like,
you're so right. And now we just need to have, like, you know, the, what is that? Woke up this morning, gotta get myself a gun.
But the fun part is, it doesn't focus entirely on the dragon as the story. Ah. You get to see what happened to the mother after she gets summoned.
Ah.
She gets sent to an academy to help a kid learn magic.
Is it the prince?
No.
Oh, okay.
Completely different country.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All I'm really getting from this setting is that magic is entirely cat-based.
Yeah, basically. And so she helps the professor understand how magical creatures rear their young. And she's like, oh, yeah, I've raised plenty of other mythical beasts with wings. And like, you're led to believe that just means a dragon, right? Turns out she's also raised a demon. And he comes in through the summoning portal to deal with the school. And then when he sees her, she tells him off.
Yeah, I mean that explains like some of the thingy art that I've seen for it
with the devil cat. Art.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Because he can take on cat form too.
Of course, of course.
It's like, I'm sorry, Mom.
Literally. And he's like, Mom, look, I've got a reputation with the humans. Can you please not like
embarrass me in front of the humans?
You're embarrassing me in front of my friends, Mom. Shut up! I want to play.
It's so wholesome and fun, like. Genuinely, it's a good watch.
It sounds cute.
Awesome. So, yeah, if you want to watch Cats Ding. And Dragons and Mafia, and it's animated by OLM, who did do Apothecary Diaries, and Summertime Regging, and Odd Taxi, and Comey Can't Communicate, and many, many, many others, because OLM are one of the greats.
Comey Can't Communicate, every time she was excited, she got the cat ears. I'm sensing a trend.
Damn! Oh, no, another cat anime.
Are cat girls back?
Yeah!
Remember that was the ancient rule that every time you questioned the logic and physics of an anime, God kills a cat girl?
We killed them all. And now they're back. Oh no.
They re-evolved.
Zombie cat girls.
Oh no. So
I swear to gods, if there is a zombie cat girl anime next season.
So this is based on a light novel. As Aaron's pointed out, there's been 2 episodes so far. No episode rating has been dropped, which suggests it's just PG/G.
Oh, for sure.
Sounds pretty low stakes. It's fantasy and cats are literally the 2 genre things I could find in my anime index. Hey.
Are we just doing it for the word now?
I guess so.
Okay.
Yeah, look, it looks pretty good. Crunchyroll worldwide, anyone Asia if you're in Hong Kong, and IQIYI if you're in China.
Hmm.
Now, we got to go to Tifa's other one, and it's Bleach, Thousand Year Blood War, The Calamity.
You don't say!
Yes, right? Now... Ignoring the fact that every time Thousand Year Blood War has come up, Tifa has chose it, which, look, she loves it, fair enough. And it is actually the best adaptation of Bleach.
It's like me with Digimon.
I've softened my opinion of Bleach.
Yeah.
It's not made for me. It was made for younger me. I've come to terms with that. It's made for a younger-seeming audience, and Tifa is small, so that...
So she's also younger than us, but yeah.
Oh, ergo, yeah, she is younger.
Yeah. So... If you're not aware of Bleach, watching this is more fun than drinking it.
Look, it is classic kind of shonen stuff.
It is.
There's a reason it was one of the... Was it one of the big three? It was.
It was.
Yeah.
It's...
Well, it was like the outlier of the big three. People were like, oh, no, it's not that. Oh, yeah, it is. Oh, no, it's not.
Big three was Naruto, One Piece, and Dragon Ball, because all of the... It was Dragon Ball, wasn't it?
Yeah. Dragon Ball Z.
I feel like Dragon Ball was the father.
Yeah, no, you're right. It was. It wasn't Dragon Ball. Dragon Ball was the precursor that led into the Shonen explosion, which is like the Cambrian explosion, but for Shonen animes that just kept going.
I hate how that makes sense. Never say these words again.
If you think about it, we had Dragon Ball GT the same time we had Naruto.
You're right.
Oh, wow. Oh, and I thought was around a second. No.
Let's double check. Anime big... No, sorry, not anime. Manga...
Manga?
Shonen
then...
Jump Big Three, because that's where the term is from, because they literally kept them across the line.
Oh, actually, because manga, Naruto,
One
came
Piece,
out
Naruto, and... Bleach was the trio.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Bleach is very much, very shonen. Follows a lad who can see ghosts, who then gets crazy ghost-killing powers from a ghost lady.
And then his ghost powers are better than they should be.
And then he goes to Ghost World to fight ghost people who are...
To rescue the ghost girl who gave him his ghost powers.
But then they discover that one of the ghost men along them is ghost man, but a different kind of ghost man who's an evil
And
ghost
it also
man.
Turns out his dad's a ghost man.
His dad's a ghost man, and his best friend is not a ghost man. He's
but a ghost man hunter.
Ghost man hunter.
Who has arms.
What?
Oh, no, that's Chad. A different one.
Oh, no.
That's a different one.
He's not a ghost man. He has ghost man powers. That's why he has ghost man arms.
And then his crush has hair clips that have ghost man powers.
Are they ghost man powers?
They're powers.
They are fairies, but are the fairies ghosts or ghost man?
I thought they were ghosts.
I don't think they're
ghosts. This is the worst explanation of Bleach I've ever heard, and it's actually...
Are you kidding? This is the most accurate. No,
but it's also incredibly accurate. That's the problem.
Okay, here's the thing as well. All the ghost men have ghost swords, which each of them have a ghost spirit in them.
Which has a ghost name.
And if you say the ghost name of the ghost sword, it turns into a transforming ghost sword, which is so cool.
One of them is a giant bone snake.
That is a giant ghost bone snake. A
giant ghost bone snake. Sorry, I forgot. He's a ghost bone snake.
So, look.
One of them turns into ghost petals.
So, the reason...
Do the petals get reincarnated?
The reason world. Bleach is getting more anime is because Bleach the anime really kind of strayed very far from where the original manga was and then ended before the manga ended.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. This took place... back in the time when the filler arc season of anime where it would catch up to the anime and then have to like make its filler to just sort of let the anime move forward a bit so it could catch up again.
It had one good arc, which was when the...
One good filler arc.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. All right. Which was when the ghost swords became ghost people.
Oh, yeah. And then they had to keep that canon in the anime going forward and it was like, it didn't make any sense.
No, that's the thing though. The anime, like... All of the random filler stuff it did, all of like the crazy characters, they kept them canon in the anime.
Yes. Yeah. And all of the minor characters that didn't really mean much in the anime got so much screen time in the filler. Like Kong. He became so important.
He basically got his own team.
Yeah.
Of puppet pals.
So basically what happened...
ghost puppet pals.
Yeah.
So what happens with Bleach is Bleach ended before the final arc, which was the Thousand Year Blood War.
Mm-hmm.
And because the lead up time for that was going to be so long, they were like, well, we'll come back to it later. And then 20 years passed.
They forgot about it.
Holy crumb, has it been 20 years?
Almost.
Ah...
Sorry, no, I'm wrong.
It's
I'm
like
wrong.
10, isn't it? 15.
It was 2012.
Yeah.
So,
I was going to say, like, so, definitely not that long.
Yeah, so basically...
I'm an old man.
Yeah.
We all are.
So that ended
Ghost
up...
Ghost old men.
That ended in 2012. And then they said, well, the manga is now properly finished and we want to produce it, but there's no production slots available and we don't want to do it as an ongoing series because we want to give it proper attention.
Here's the thing. Tifa's going to kill us for how we've described
it. Oh, I know. It's great.
She can try, but we just put our hand on her head.
Well, look, sorry,
She has to get here first. So they came back and they went, well, the series that we've been running is PG-13. Just like Naruto, just like, you know, One Piece, because Four Kids were the partner for the English translation to begin with, they've kept it PG and made it child-focused. Thousand Year Blood War is R-18.
Because it is just crazy.
And the cinema event had a divorce.
Yeah. Yeah.
Caused a divorce, just like the Digimon movie.
So Hannah Montana caused a divorce because of the...
Angela
Anaconda. What happened for this divorce thing that with... So they basically had a special preview screening of it about a month ago, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. And so Yoruichi's yams were out in full like action, mm-hmm. like being displayed and everything. And this guy took his wife and his child. And Yoruichi was... doing Yoruichi stuff. You know the pose. You know the outfit.
Yep.
And
the electric cat one?
Yes.
For reference, Yoruichi is a ghost cat who turned into a ghost lady.
Oh, it's all cats all the way down.
Anyway, so the wife looks at the husband disgusted by this and is like, look, it's not all like that. It's just this one part with this one character. Orihime comes in.
Oh, no.
And then the wife calls him an incel.
Oh.
And the wife
calls him an
in front of their child.
The woman who's married to... never mind, continue.
Apparently there were underlying issues before this.
I was going to say, was this an arranged marriage? Or like,
I don't know. But because of all of these actions, he ended up getting divorced. And he said, he made a public post describing all of this. And he's like, I do not blame the creator of Bleach. This is not his fault. He is no way associated with this. This is just because my marriage had underlying issues and everything came to a point because of this.
Well, yeah, she clearly had some insecurities about that, and that makes you wonder if he also had done some things to further those insecurities.
I feel like there were intimacy incompatibilities.
Yeah, like it could, like there's so many different ways this could be.
Yeah, for yeah, sure.
But
look, but Yoruichi's yams.
Bleach caused a divorce. Fascinating.
Now, if I had a nickel every time an anime movie caused a divorce, I'd have two nickels.
You know, which isn't a lot. It happened twice.
I have some bad news for you. You'd have more than that. There have been other ones over the years. Apparently one of the Pokemon movies caused a divorce in the US.
Okay, are we just going to have to make a whole episode?
We have to do a research episode, which is anime films that cause divorces. I'm writing that down and we're coming back to it.
We're going to look at it later and be like, what were we talking about?
I was going to say, is that a Patreon special? I think that's a Patreon special. They wanted some random deep dives. There you go. We'll do it.
We're going to get lab coats.
Am I going to have to research through Reddit? I don't want to.
You're going to have to do something. No. I can't do this
myself.
We
don't have to do the research. Kyle's going to find a list. We're just going to watch.
The divorce?
Yes.
The proceedings?
Yes.
I'll ask 4chan.
Yes. Anyway, moving along.
From divorce animes.
Bleach Thousand Year Blood War is to do with the Quincy's, who are demon, who are ghost hunters.
Yes.
And the ghosts, who are like the
Grim Reapers.
The Grim Reapers, thank
Soul Reapers.
Yeah. Soul Reapers, yeah. Basically, they've been at odds their entire life. This is basically the war that has finally come up in the background. That's kind of been the incompatibility has been sizzling there the entire series.
Well, it's because the Grim Reapers take the souls to the afterlife, whereas the Quincy's eradicate the soul so that it gets reborn into a new body.
Yeah.
And so they have opposing views on what you should do when you die, so that's why they're fighting.
I mean, like, yeah.
I get it, cycle of reincarnation, but also let them, like, live in heaven.
I was going to say, like, also, like, you can, like, if it's this big of an issue, like, they're in so many powerful positions in this world, make it part of the will.
Yeah.
That's the thing as well. Like,
would you like to not in like a spiritualistic way because people won't believe it, but go, you know, you ask a question when they're writing that, giving their will pack or whatever, and go like, you know, as an icebreaker before you do this, would you rather this or this? And then you take a note. And the Quincy's the thing, can come though, and get you, or the Reapers can come
in
and get
you. In the early seasons of the show, they go to the ghost afterlife and meet the ghost people living in ghost afterlife. And
you can just call it limbo.
No.
And they meet the ghost boss.
That's the thing. Like, other than like the soul society where all the Grim Reapers live, everyone else lives in kind of like Sengoku era Japan on the outside of this world. And you're just sort of like, okay, they've gone to the afterlife and it's not better.
It's simple.
It's simple.
But there was also like at the start, the Soul Reapers were the villains. And that changes over the course of the story. Like, don't get me wrong. Both sides have problematic people within them.
Yeah.
However, like, they were positioned as the primary villain at the start. And then you moved on and they were like, well, I have to come up with more, and expanded the lore. And that introduced the Quincy's and the elements of that with the guy from school and all that sort of stuff.
And it continuously changed Ichigo's backstory.
Yeah. Ichigo
eventually has everyone's powers.
He's super Ichigo. That's why all the Superman memes were there.
His mum was one of the ghost hunters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And his dad was one of the ghost men.
And then he's bitten by one of the bad ghosts and gets evil ghost powers as well.
Yes.
Yeah, and then his sword is like another ghost thing altogether too.
Yeah.
And his bunkai is another ghost thing. And the bunkai is just like saying their name three times in the mirror and turning around.
I love it. at the start, it's like, no one has ever achieved bunkai but the captains. By like season two, everyone's got one. Yeah. It's sort of like Super Saiyan.
It's sort of like the Keyblade. Only one person has the Keyblade next game. Oh,
there's everyone. 45 of them. So look, Bleach Thousand Year Blood War. If you're a fan of the original Bleach series, this is probably the time to get into this run if you haven't been watching it. Because if you watch the original series, then we're like, well, why would I go back to Bleach? Think of it as pretty much putting the end to all the all of those little loopholes and everything in the story.
Not only that, like we said, this anime is from 15 years ago. Oh my god.
Yep.
And so it's updated with very, very new animation techniques.
And it's good.
It's beautiful.
Worth noting, Pero Films are animating it. That is Studio Pero's new premium department.
Hey.
So they got the good people working on Yoroichi's yams.
Yeah. So Studio Pero obviously did the original Bleach series. They did the original Naruto series. I need to double check if they did the original Bleach series. I feel like they did, but I could be wrong. But they did the original Naruto. Great Teacher Onizaki, Yu Yu Hakusho, Mr. Osamatsu, and many, many more, and Kingdom as well. Like,
oh, nice.
Like, that's something we still do need to go back and watch Kingdom. We've
There's
been saying
so many
it
of,
for
like,
a
the big name
long
ones
time.
Which you need to, like, it's just the thing. We keep getting this like deluge of new anime to watch.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's a seasonal thing where it happens every 3 months.
Oh, yeah. Right? No, it was Studio Pierrot who did the original series as well. So there you go. All 366 episodes of it. Read the manga instead. Read the manga up until Thousand Year Blood War and then watch it.
Or punish yourself.
Because there is
a
full coloured version of the manga,
mm-hmm.
which is great.
Yeah, but then you miss out on that one filler arc where the swords are ghost people.
Yeah, but like, you know, I'm sure people have got lists on that somewhere.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, there you go.
Go find the list. Go watch the list.
Okay. Moving right along, that's Tifa's. It's R17 from the manga, 11 p.m. on Saturday night. And I believe, from memory, the first one is actually like pretty late release. Yeah, this is July 25th when the first episode drops. And this, I believe, is the final arc. So it could be a random number of episodes. It could be like 18, like ReZero is this season.
Or 87.
No. No, that's far too many episodes for how much is left.
You never know.
Okay, that's a 1,000-yard stare if I've seen one. Moving
thousand
along.
1,000-yard blood war.
Kenny, you have...
Yu Hakusho.
No. Jaduga, a witch in Mongolia.
Indeed.
What do... thing?
Well, you see, they're these ghost people.
ghost swords.
And a cat.
Sting.
No. This, you know how I'm very much a sucker for your sort of like medievalist setting, swords, sorcery kind of thing?
Yeah.
This is less of the swords and sorcery sort of thing, but very, very history focused.
13th century slave markets of Iran.
Makes sense now.
Because we've been playing Kona. Yeah.
he longs for the desert.
Yeah. Not the forced friendships.
That's what he calls them in Kona.
Oh, dear. This is Science Saru's other one this season, other than flipping doing Ghost in the Shell. Like, good work.
they touch on some crazy stuff.
They
and
do.
This one is very, like... We've been seeing in anime lately with Apothecary Diaries. That was like a look behind like the life in like Forbidden City, China sort of thing. This goes to a completely different rate. This goes to the Silk Road. I think before it was the Silk Road. This goes to Mongolia and Iran.
The like, Khans.
Bloody the Warring Khans.
Pablo Khan. He's from South America.
I would love to see that.
Man, we are so tired.
I know, right?
This follows the journey of a girl as she is sort of like taken from her life into the like emerging empire of the Khanate of Mongolia. And it's sort of like a look behind the walls there. I am not explaining this very well.
Do you want me to read it?
Be a sport.
Once a young girl in the 13th century slave markets of Iran. I don't know why they started it like that.
I'm sure there were plenty of them.
And then they go, this is a tale of a witch who toyed with a vast continent.
Together, flip they fight crime.
Like, yeah. After losing her mother and being torn from her homeland, Sitara found herself utterly alone, still young, with no ability to survive on her own and no hope for the future. She is taken in by Fatima, a kind-hearted lady from a family of scholars. If you study and become wise, no matter what trouble befalls you, you will know the best way forward. Deeply moved by these words, the words of Fatima's son, Muhammad, Sitara came to understand the possibilities and importance of knowledge and begins to deepen her education. She dreams that one day she might catch up with Muhammad, who has set off on a journey in pursuit of wisdom himself. Meanwhile, under the reign of Emperor Genghis Khan, the mighty Mughal Empire continues its unstoppable march, conquering nation after nation and expanding its influence across the world.
So it is during the Genghis run of the Empire. Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought it was like pre that.
Yeah. Well,
it's 100 years, sorry.
Yeah.
A lot can happen in 100 years.
Yeah. That boundless ambition finally reaches Sitara City at the hands of the Empire's fourth prince, Tolui, but I'm just like, Tulio!
Miguel and Tulio, mighty and powerful gods!
Or in this case, mighty and powerful Khans. Tolui, her peaceful everyday life comes to an end, and that leads to, obviously, the slave markets. Having lost everything, she vows vengeance against the all-consuming empire. So, like, it'd be kind of cool if, like, she is the downfall of the Genghis Khan story. Look, he was going to die anyway.
What? So, spoilers.
Or did he? No, he's, what would that be, like 900 years old now, 600, 800 years old. Like, it'd be kind of interesting if
they never found a body, Kyle.
It'd be kind of funny if she plays a role in, like, the decline of the Mongol Empire.
That'd be fun fan fiction, certainly.
Yeah, but we know it's otherwise.
Look, I'm always a purist when it comes to, like, present history right.
Well, they're saying that she's a sorceress and there's magic, so...
I don't think it's actually sorcery and magic. I think it is literally the belief that the knowledge...
Pretty much.
Because that like, they had the idea of the wise man and the mystic and all that during those periods in Eastern Asia. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're... Well, actually, yeah. So
and
I mean,
if she sold in the slave markets of Iran, then that could put...
And then that makes her worth more as well. It could be the same as Apothecary Diaries, where that knowledge is something that others don't have in the area.
If she was a cunning woman from Iran, shipped over to there, then she possesses knowledge and wisdom outside of
exactly.
their ken.
Exactly, and that would have been during like the Middle East kind of golden era after like the Crusades were like 1500s, so before the Crusades.
Yep. Long before the Crusades.
This could be a really interesting setting. And it's science, sorry, well, so it's going to be good.
That was the whole thing. Genghis Khan, like the Khanate was like known, notoriously very superstitious. They were they very much still believed in magic. So any kind of intriguing knowledge and wisdom from a foreign place would instantly set them, ooh.
Yeah. Okay. It would
give them the willy. So yeah, that simply could be her thing, is that her simply having a bit of knowledge beyond their ken sets her as a sorceress, a witch.
Yeah. Now, first episode is out. It's airing on Saturdays at 11:30 at night.
I'll need to see that later tonight.
Yeah, that's on my list for tonight. Crunchyroll, Aniplus Asia, and in Aniplus case, this is Hong Kong, Singapore, Indonesia, and Philippines. According to what I have written here, I could be wrong, but we'll find out. So
Philippines, cool.
Yeah. And then from a manga, Science Saru, as we mentioned before, Dandadan, Aizuken, Devilman Crybaby, and Ghost in the Shell this season too. Moving on, the only proper sequel-y one in this, because Emma is obsessed with it, it's called You and I Are Polar Opposites.
Yes.
We did not jump on this wagon soon enough. This is the same lady who wrote Ramparts of Ice, which just ended. And basically Ramparts of Ice ended and this starts, and then same thing happens when this ends, Ramparts of Ice returns. And that'll cover all of the manga she's created. And she's only had two runs, and both of them ran for about 90 chapters and finished and they were done. They weren't cancelled. So that's really good to see. So You and I Polar Opposites is really like a rom-com of high school, but it's not the will they won't they, it's like, yep, in the first episode they get together, here are the hijinks that ensue,
which there have been a few anime like that, and I find that very refreshing.
Yeah,
it's less of the like will they won't they chasing each other around.
It's like Horimiya, but even sillier, like substantially sillier, actually. So Suzuki's a high school girl in love, but the guy she's falling for is nothing like her. While she's cheerful, outgoing, and has pink hair, might I add, and always trying to fit in, her classmate, Yusuke Tani, is a stoic, quiet, and doesn't seem to care what people think of him. He does. He's just quiet. Will Suzuki be able to calm her anxieties and ask him out? Yeah, happens in like the first 5 minutes. Don't worry. or will she discover that opposites really don't attract? Nah, and it's chaotic. And it's the opening sequence, I think I showed it to you, is beautifully done. Like, it's they've used the syncopation of the beat and really, like, cut the footage to it. And it's all motifs around film and, like, spinning things to, like, create movement and stuff like that. And yeah,
I think it's that we were looking at it like when it first came out and we figured, oh yeah, it looks good, looks like pretty like standard kind of romance anime, but
yeah, it really was not like that. That was kind of why it didn't end up on the list at the time, because we thought it, I'm pretty sure we didn't actually end up on the list because me and Emma discovered it halfway through the season, has gone, how we missed this. But yeah, it is not like all the other romance animes we see every season. It's like, oh no, we're so different, but I like him, and I'm going to spend the next 45 episodes mulling that over.
Chasing each other around like cats.
Yeah, before he inevitably moves away. Yes. So PG-13, comedy romance shonen, heavy on the comedy. Lot of gags, lot of, like, there's a girl who, like, whenever she gets excited, she looks like she's sucking her teeth like an old lady, and she gets excited because the girl from her class is into the boy from the other class, and she really wants them to get together, and you just see her in the background, like, and you think something's wrong. It's like, no, she's super excited, and it doesn't make sense until you watch the episode, because they have that in the opening sequence for 5 episodes before you meet her. And it's so good. But yeah, it's really nice. It is really lovely. I would say this is more like Horimiya, whereas I would say Ramparts of Ice is basically a better Toradora.
Okay.
Because it makes sense. Like, you know, the characters have trauma and problems, whereas Tora's just angry. I'm going to probably get a lot of flack for that because everyone loved Toradora, but I'd suggest go watching it with a critical...
Put your flack in the comments below.
Well, I was going to say, go
flack
watch it...
Kyle in the comments.
Go watch it now with a critical eye, and especially that second half. Wait until you see it's just suddenly... They skip a whole load of development and act as if everything's fine. The anime adaptation's not good. The manga is better. So, yeah. Anyway.
Kyle he's wrong below.
Anyway, Lap and Track is the one who animating season 2. They did season 1. They did Sarazanmai, which was beautiful, even if it was very weird about that the Kappa boys.
Yeah.
And, you know, having things up their bum.
Taking the souls out their butts, yes.
Yeah. And then they also did Undead Murder Farce, which was the lady in the the decapitated lady. Her head was in like a bird cage and they were trying to find her body.
I remember that.
Yeah. And How to Become Ordinary, which was, yeah, it was a weird series, that one. But that's had 2 seasons. Some people like it. Not my cup of tea. First episode just dropped. That was on Sunday. Comes at 5 p.m. 13 episodes. That should bring this season to a close and the story to a close as well. So, yeah. Crunchyroll, Anyone Asia and Hong Kong, and Bilibili Global, along with Netflix in some areas. Check your local listings to find out where it is for you. First episode's out, so hopefully we should start seeing, especially if you're some of our European listeners, ADV and all that kind of start dropping theirs about like the second or third week of the season usually. So, takes a little bit to get there. All right.
Hello, Lithuania.
I'm just thinking like a rock concert. And it's like,
hell yeah.
Good evening, Lithuania. Alrighty. Moving on. Last one. Smoking Behind the Supermarket with You. This is my pick. I've been reading the manga for about...
I'm sensing a trend with the smoking thing here. It was a chain smoking cat.
Yeah, ding. This one does
say
not...
It. Say it.
this one doesn't have a cat in it, actually, so there you go.
You said it twice.
No, but so...
Dong.
This has been done by Asahi Productions. They did Gushing Over Magical Girls, Plastic Nissan, which is the really weird one where the guy does the... down the...
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Down the alleyway with the bra on to scare people.
Don't Google it.
Peach Boy Riverside as well. Yep. So like,
don't Google it.
So PG-13, this one, it is a seinen romance. Look, there is an age gap, but it's not a... questionable age gap, if that makes sense. I think she's almost 30, the girl in it, and he's 45. So that, you know, they're at that point where they're consenting adults. So, they know who they are.
So not Leonardo DiCaprio-ish. Gotcha.
No. So at age 45, office worker...
Call me Leo.
Office worker Sasaki has had enough of the corporate grind. His only solace is smoking and the friendly smile of a supermarket cashier called Yamada. When Sasaki can't find Yamada after a particularly trying day, a striking woman invites him to smoke with her. The despondent man thinks he's made a new smoking buddy in the cool, teasing Tayama, but Sasaki doesn't realize he already knows her. It's Yamada. She puts, and like, this is like what I was telling Emma about, and she's like, isn't that just women working? They have to be nice when they're working. And I'm like, yeah, it is.
That's just anyone who's worked customer service.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, Yamada and Tayama are the same person, but obviously she covers all her piercings and her punk rock sort of aesthetic when she's working at 7-Eleven, essentially, because you know, you've got an outfit and a uniform, you do that. And it's not like he's obsessed with her. It's just more that, you know, he goes via that supermarket and he's like, oh, it's nice to see someone who's so passionate.
Familiar face,
someone who's passionate about their job and someone
who's
nice.
They're smiling, they're happy. It sort of lifts your mood when the people around you are happy.
And it's not him going after her. It's just a friendship. Mm. But it does develop into more because there is a whole history behind that location, which neither of them has quite realized. But there are flashbacks shown throughout the manga about that.
It's a haunted 7-Eleven.
Well, Sasaki went and worked abroad, not abroad, but like out of Tokyo for like a decade. And that shop had only just opened before he left. So he didn't recognize it when he first moved back.
I'm not sure you're supposed to call them that. You're not supposed to call them broads anymore.
Okay.
Isn't this similar to the Sakamoto Day story?
I think so, but it's not...
He falls in love with a convenience store worker.
I mean, yeah, there's that. But I think he did something to help her out and give her direction when she was younger. And she's held on to that. And the scent of his cigarettes and his look kind of gave her a nostalgic...
Good vibe.
Vibe. And that connects it. And she was like, you know, as I said, it was like a decade ago. So she was like... 20, 21, 18, 19, like that sort of early age bracket. If she was that age during the show, I'd be like, during the manga, I'd be like, no. Because he's double your age.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that they have reconnected like a decade later. To me, that's cute. It's kind of like, okay, cool. But it's not, it's very much not a very clear cut what their feeling for each other is. It lists it as a romance, but it could kind of also be admiration.
Yeah.
Or nostalgia or comfort.
Yeah, just a comfort person.
Exactly. So I can let you know, at least in the manga, we haven't reached anything that is conclusive. So there you go. But yeah, that's on Crunchyroll and Netflix, Thursdays at 11:55. This had a weird one where the first 6 episodes were released as specials about 2 months ago on Netflix. And they released them as half-length episodes. So there were 12-minute episodes on Netflix, which is just the first 6 episodes.
Hmm.
So I don't know how that's going to impact it. Because that... I mean, it's good that they had them ready. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how that's actually going to impact people's attention for it. Yeah. So Crunchyroll and Netflix both have that. Both will be airing it now as it goes out. But yeah, and I think this was another case of it being a bit of a late release. First episode is later this week. So okay, not that late. So yeah, 9th it comes out. So yeah, bit strange for the release schedule and for how they did that. But the story is quite fun. And there's definitely a lot of kind of slapstick sort of moments with her workmates, and his like his colleague at work is just so dumb. Like he's not like dumb like himbo dumb. He's dumb as in oblivious to the workings of the world in some ways. And it's like,
aren't we all?
Is he married? I feel like he's married. Why? Why is this the case? Anyway, it's really cute and sweet. Don't expect it to, you know, run straight towards a final confession or anything like that. It's not that type of anime. It's the journey of two individuals that may end in romance. It's more about their life and about self-discovery and about learning what you value in life.
Sounds
if that makes
chill.
Sense. Which explains why it's in the seinen category. That would not fly in shonen.
A friend you can grow with.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, that's our 10 picks from this season.
Also a lot of cigarette smoking in this season, isn't it?
There's a lot of cigarette smoking in Japanese media full stop at the moment. Yep, you're okay. You got the shakes.
Tens,
cool. So, just to recap, Black Torch, Chainsmoker Cat, The Ghost in the Shell, Sparks of Tomorrow, Though I Am an Inept Villainess, Cat and the Dragon, Bleach Thousand Year Blood War, The Calamity, A Witch in Mongolia, Ghosts. You and I Are Polar Opposites Season 2, and Smoking Behind the Supermarket with You. Those are our picks. We'll be back in a moment with some news.
Wi-Fi Radio.
Tonight on Anime Communique.
Great story, compelling and rich.
Nothing brings ratings up like a little controversy.
Okay, we're going to kind of blast through the news for you. We have been away for a little while after I got sick. As you can tell, I'm much better. First up, Studio Trigger has revealed the fourth project from director Hiroyuki Imayashi and screenwriter Kazuki Nakashima. Mm. They previously created Gurren Lagann, Kill la Kill, and Promare. They've announced that it is in the works, and they have not told us what it is. It's just that they're producing a new project and it is now actually happening, and all the info we have from Expo is fourth project.
Okay, I'm actually bloody excited for this. Do we have anything?
My guess is there's a pattern. First it was giant robots, then it was skimpy girls, then it was giant robots.
So it could be Skimpy Girls.
Skimpy Girls.
Giant Robots.
Yeah, that was where I was going to go next.
I mean,
Skimpy Girls.
I was going to say, isn't that just Darling in the Franxx?
Their
studio did.
But what if the giant robots are Skimpy Girls now?
Actually, you say that, and I'm looking at the... No, you say that, and I'm looking at this, and a lot of the people who are listed on this worked on Kill la Kill. So I think it might be Skimpy
Aaron
Girls.
Aaron, you're a genius.
Autism pattern analysis.
God. Okay, so look, we don't have a release date just yet, but it was just announced at Anime Expo over in the States. Hopefully this means we'll have something concrete in kind of the next 6 months. They have said that Sanigen Animation Studio is handling the 3D CG animation parts. It's not a full 3D CG one, but they're the studio that do a lot of like the CG modeling and animation in the background for other companies.
Oh yeah, that's the Skimpy transformation.
They're involved in a lot of Bang Dream by the looks of it. So there you go. Apothecary.
I adored Gurren Lagann. It maintains as one of my favorite anime ever. Mm.
Same.
And Promare was drugs, so I'm keen.
And Kill la Kill was giant scissors, so like, yeah.
And definitely not anything to do with doing things with scissors.
No. Anyway, moving on. The Apothecary Diaries anime has got its first trailer for its film. It is arriving December 11th for open in the US. Obviously, we will probably get that 3 months after. It's called The Apothecary Diaries, The Deceased Empress's Treasure. Mm. And it looks pretty...
Is she
going
to be doing some Indiana Jones stuff?
It does look like it, because the picture has her looking into what looks like a old sort of area with a torch, and there being like old vases and stuff. And is that treasure? It might be treasure.
Sparkle.
Indiana Jones. Cool. There's a trailer out. Go check it out. It's going to be pretty good. We don't have an exact information on where this kind of sits in the story. We do know it's a brand new story according to the release, and the original novel series author wrote it. So
it's not like part of the like main story arc or anything.
No.
Okay.
I'm okay with that. I miss films that stand alone from them. Like some of them we've kind of gotten to the point.
It gives you a complex? Standalone.
I like them to be separate from the series. I'm sick of going to the cinema to watch what should have been a season. They cut half the stuff out, like the Demon Slayer movie. It's beautiful, and it's taken a year for it to come onto Crunchyroll, and we've still got another year till the next one. And they could have just done it as a series, and it wouldn't have been as profitable. No. But it would have been a better format, because they had to cut so much to fit in that time restraint.
Would have been better for the fans.
Exactly. On that note, The Apothecary Diaries director Noriho Naganuma has announced the Jurassic Shadows Dinosaur Ninja anime.
JoJo Dinosaurs makeup.
That's a lot of words. This was announced at Anime Expo as well. A new anime titled Jurassic Shadows. It combines dinosaurs, ninjas, and makeup. And
Aaron, explain.
Yeah.
Okay, JoJo's?
Yeah.
But instead of posing, they put on makeup. And then ghost dinosaurs beat each other up.
Okay, like, are we talking just
And
like-
there's also real dinosaurs.
So when you say they put on makeup, are we talking sort of like they do
lipstick,
masks and stuff?
Oh, it like is. It makeup? Is looking like, you know, like kabuki style, like
okay,
and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They've secretly survived by dinosaurs secretly survived passing the DNA into humans through interbreeding, and they're hidden among ordinary people. They now prey upon humans while living unnoticed within society. Standing against them is a covert order of ninjas who wield Ryugesho, a special pigment infused with ancient memories. They apply this mysterious pigment and awaken the powers of dinosaurs within themselves to fight back against the predators threatening humanity. Yeah, to think the Apothecary Diaries director is doing this.
What?
It's being written by Kenta Ihara, who did Saga of Tanya the Evil, which is doing the screenplay. Oh, Apothecary Diaries character designer has come for this. Lycoris Recoils.
You need to seriously see the trailer for this. It is beautiful.
Yeah, Shuhei Mitsuki, they're composing the music. It's being done with Slow Curve and Avex Pictures for production side. It's going to be kind of a bit bonkers. I think it'll probably be very shonen oriented. It's kind of funny. I don't think it's based on anything existing.
I don't think so either. But
it could be good.
I'm going to have such a good time watching this because it's going to be so stupid.
This is going to be drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moving on, also announced at Anime Expo, Sonic the Hedgehog is getting a 35-year celebration mini film. It's a short film celebrating the 35 years. It's called Memories and Beyond. And they had a sneak peek video which shows basically all of the core team fighting Mecha Sonic.
Oh, heck yeah. Mecha Sonic or Metal Sonic?
Which one is the one which has blue on him?
Metal Sonic.
Thing in the middle. Metal
Yeah, because Mecha Sonic's the silver one with that's chainsaw.
I was going to say, which one was which? I keep getting them mixed up.
Yeah.
So
they also have Sonic Metal from the alternate dimension.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
The trailer has...
joking, damn it.
the trailer has Sonic, Knuckles, Tails, Shadow, Amy, and Rogue all fighting against him in a big arena, and it's really well done. So that's going to debut this fall in the US. So autumn, so that'll be spring for us. So next season. No. Oh, wow. When's fall?
Yeah, that's next season, brother. Because it's Halloween.
It's two, yeah.
We're too tired for this.
Halloween is soon, man.
Dr. Eggman's new evil scheme is to upgrade Metal Sonic into the ultimate fighting machine by stealing Sonic's life data and harness the Chaos Emeralds. Sonic and his friends realize that defeat Metal Sonic, they must rely on the friendship they've built through their adventures. Oh my god, it's a magical girl anime.
It's Sonic
the power
Heroes.
Of friendship. It is Sonic Heroes, you're so right. But I don't see Cream. I don't see Big.
They don't want to abuse a child or a person who's a little slow.
I want to see a child get punched. No, I'm kidding. All right, moving right
along.
That's
what YouTube is for.
Somebody clip that audio and play it in the lawsuit against Kyle.
Cyberpunk Edgerunners 2 anime has revealed the opening theme song will be by The Cure.
Really?
Yeah.
They've also had individual character trailers.
Yep. There are four of them, and it's basically just like
Naruto.
Yes, I've noticed
the blonde, the emo, the girl, and the sensei.
That's Kakashi.
Yeah, except that he's just got red sunglasses.
And the girl has pink hair. Like it's just the characters from Naruto.
So the opening theme song is 10:15 Saturday Night by The Cure, and the ending theme song is by Watson. I don't know.
God, really?
Elementary.
Watson is.
They've also already screened the first episode at Anime Expo, and it will also premiere this fall, i.e., next season coming up, so 3 months away.
God damn it.
There's also like insert songs that they've got people to write. So rapper Rico Nasty apparently wrote and performed "You Can't Run From Me" for the anime, and that appears as part of an insert song and as part of the trailers. It's had a real big push from people wanting involved in it. It's a new standalone 10-episode story set in the world of Cyberpunk 2077. Pretty much, if you weren't aware and haven't played Cyberpunk the game or watched previous Edgerunners, Cyberpunk as a genre is about
dystopian future.
It's a dystopian future, and it's always a tragedy.
It's everyone gets the cool tech, but at the cost of it all being extremely corporatized. If you're a Sony player, you'll understand.
Yeah. So, also worth mentioning is that there is the prequel manga Cyberpunk Edgerunners Madness, which was for the previous one, which focused on Rebecca. That has now finally been released with Dark Horse's doing the English imprint. That started in December 2024. We saw two fan translations of the first two chapters and then nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And now it started actually being released in English. So we're not sure what's happened there. But yeah, this is coming at Studio Trigger again, and it's also going to be a Netflix anime series. But that's exactly what Edgerunners 1 was, and it will be good.
Animation is always just crazy beautiful. The story, it'll break your heart.
I also love the fact that Studio Trigger know that they can say to Netflix, no, we're keeping the lolly.
It paid off last time. It's going to pay off again.
Exactly. All right. Some quick, fast facts for you. Kagurabachi manga. This is one of our big ones that we expect to turn into a fantastic series very soon.
I was hearing about this when its manga was on its first issue.
Yeah, this is the big kind of like shonen, dark shonen new sort of forerunner, if you will, in Shonen Jump. That is going on hiatus until August due to a sudden illness from the author. It's just for this month. That's okay. It's not any longer at this case.
I swear, being a manga author is more hazardous to your health than being in the military.
They did take a 1 week break in June due to having illness then, but it might just be a case that they took the break and it wasn't enough. So they also had an illness break in October as well for production reasons. So like there's a lot going on, but it's this is the thing, like doing a weekly manga for Shonen Jump is a lot of pressure and it does age people. And it's why when people finish their run, they don't go back to doing a weekly. As a general rule, there are exceptions. There are crazy people out there.
Odor.
Yeah. Well, he just never stopped. But he's like, I'm going to be honest, One Piece has not been weekly for a while now. It's been like monthly at best.
And that man is just, he's crazy.
Yeah. Wit Studios have revealed a new original TV anime called Lona. L-O-N-A. It's a name, I believe. Or no, it's an acronym. Laboratory of Optics and Neural Analysis. It is apparently an original story. With a screenplay by Akiko Nogi, who would they did the live action screenplay of I Am Hero and Library Wars. That's not much, but maybe they do other stuff in like normal production stuff over there.
Sounds cyberpunky.
Lona.
The director is the person who did the Spy X Family Code White film. So
okay,
with the poop god.
Yeah. But yeah, it's very sort of bombastic, unusual very characters. Bold. Very bold colors in all the branding. Very much like a tech-focused sort of thing. So
interesting.
I don't think it's going to be akin to like
Ghost in the Shell,
or anything like that.
No,
but
it doesn't look
like
that sort of thing.
I think it'll be like they're working in a laboratory and it's to do with AI of some form. Like that's kind of the vibe it's giving. It looks like weird things are going to happen in it. The description we have so far is, of course, in classic Japanese prose, a world broken in the not-so-distant future. Humanity is facing a new incident. We're being attacked by humans who should be dead. The government has decided to request a specialized organization to deal with this situation.
Zombies?
The Laboratory of Optics Neural Analysis, commonly known as LONA. Researcher Ao and her apprentice Sango will try to get to the bottom of the mystery by analyzing the brains of the dead. What do they think of what do people think of? What do they leave behind before they die? Countless memories engraved in neural circuits. What do they see in these depths?
Trippy.
So yeah, interesting, cool designs of characters and some of the little sort of like robotic friends and all that. We don't have a full. Oh no, we do. Okay, so spring 2027 is.
I take it back. I'm getting some serious Ghost in the Shell vibes from this.
Yeah, it could be interesting. It could also be terrible. Quick, what do they call it? Like Diamond Round or whatever it is?
Lightning Round?
Lightning Round. Demon Slayer Infinity Castle film is landing on Crunchyroll July 28. Mashal Magic and Muscle Season 3 has been confirmed for January 2027.
Hmm.
Are You a Landmine, Chihara-san? Has been delayed until January.
What?
There's a type of girl fashion style in Japan referred to as a landmine girl, and it's kind of gothic Lolita, but they look like they've got a yandere vibe, so they referred to as landmine girls because they could go off at any moment sort of thing. She's not like that, but her fashion sense is, so that's what it's a rom-com kind of akin to Komi Can't Communicate and Dangers in My Heart
and Mines.
New Ramen and a Half Season 3 is going to land on Netflix in October. Dora Hedoro is getting a third season. That's been announced. We don't have a date for that. Fake Alchemist manga, which is very popular at the moment, also confirmed for a TV anime. Don't expect much. The teaser is just them drawing the main character. And then Jujutsu Kaisen Season 4, Culling Game Part 2, is now officially in production.
Hell yeah.
As is the new Evangelion series, which is being headed.
Oh, what the hell?
We don't know what it is yet. The only information we have is that the person who's in charge of it is the guy who wrote Nier.
Oh, Nier Automata?
No. Yeah. That guy is, he is loony.
He is. So that could be really good. And we've seen the same trailer that was leaked about 6 months ago, and it's just lots of pictures of a damaged world with the musical instruments in it.
Oh, cool. So it's like Kingdom Hearts. You get the same trailer over and over.
Exactly.
Again.
Yep, yep. That's it.
Oh, look, there's one more thing. Oh, yep. JoJo's is coming back to weekly.
Oh, hell yeah.
Is it though?
Yes. Steel Ball Run.
When?
I think it's already started coming back.
Oh, it's not listed on any of the sites yet. We'll have to look at that.
Yeah.
Good catch. Okay. Yeah, that's what we've got. Also, on that note, the Evangelion project is Studio Kara and Cloverworks joint production.
Okay.
That'll be pretty, at least. Like, it might be a year from now. We don't know.
The writing is going to be so bloody weird.
But yeah, we were talking about this in the Discord server, me and one of the guys there, and I can't remember how. I think it was because he found the trailer had been re-updated on Kara's website to say it was in production. And we were discussing what it could be. It could be a new season. They can't return to what they did. So is it a hard reboot? Are they going to do something like a jump on like they did for Anima, which is the light novels?
Did you play through Nier Automata?
Yeah. Yeah, it's
all
weird.
All of it?
No, I didn't finish it. It's still on my to-finish list.
It's
a lot.
It's going to get weird, man. It's going to get really weird.
I mean,
okay. I got the JoJo's thing here.
Yeah.
So it's set to premiere September 25th, 2026. New episodes will be released every Friday.
September.
There's a total of 11 episodes for the second and third stages.
Okay, so that's technically next season, realistically.
But we got information regarding it.
We've got information on it, so yeah, there we go. But that's good to know. Because yeah, like, you can't just vote that as the number one anime of all time and try and dethrone everything on Mal when it's had one episode.
JoJo.
It's like, just JoJo things.
Wi-Fi Radio.
Yeah, I forgot I did that sting.
I haven't heard it before.
Yeah.
You haven't heard that one before.
Yeah, that one, I was like, that's a different person. What's going on?
It's like I put on my broadcasting quite
radio. Authorized by the Commons Government Camera.
Oh, God. Anyway, we're definitely not. That's where we're going to leave things in this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Next time, Final Fantasy, The Spirits Within is 25.
I beg your pardon.
Yeah, it's 25 years old, so yeah.
Quarter century.
We're gonna go back and have a look at it. I'm gonna see if we can get someone in for it. We'll see if that happens. We have a contact.
Steve Buscemi was one of the voice actors.
I don't think we can get the Buscemi.
Damn it.
But Aaron knows what I'm talking about. We're gonna try. We will see if it's possible. I don't know if it is, but we managed to get the cast of Evangelion and Alex Cazares for Rebecca from Cyberpunk Edgerunners. I'm sure we can try it.
She was fun.
It's worth a shot.
It's worth a shot. As always, big thank you to our Patreon members. You know, we love you. We'll be messaging you. We're looking at new things that we can do to give you more content. You heard one come to life today, such as anime that caused a divorce. That's coming soon.
Yeah, we've been spitballing other ideas like video game stuff.
Yeah, but I think the big demand is kind of around like anime deep dives, and whether we have the capacity to do so, I'm not sure with our work schedules, because yeah, this doesn't pay the bills. A Sonic deep dive?
Yeah. Can we do a Sonic deep dive? But I think if we do, we've got to get Dry Guy on.
Oh, 100%.
I think we planned an episode where we bring in a whiteboard and you explain the Kingdom Hearts timeline to us at one point.
Oh, I think that's too video gaming. We've got to stick with anime.
Yeah. I think Tifa would also want a whiteboard and compete with you on that.
Oh, Tifa wouldn't stand a chance. Tifa wouldn't stand a chance.
Okay, well, look, that is where we're going to leave it. If you do like what we're doing, want to support us and get access to some more content, that's what the Patreon's for. We also have our social media accounts and everything else in the episode description. Click buttons, do things. That's the anime podcast that we do, and
we're people on it.
We're people. It is like 9 o'clock at night here, so we're gonna
cat
wrap
anime.
Up. How many is that? Like 15. You've been listening to Quiet-Fi Radio. Thank you so much for joining us, and until next time,
watch some anime.
Dang.
You can't nyan like that, my friend.
Yeah.